afternoon. Today is January 1st, Wednesday. First day of the year. Joining us this afternoon with his lollipop intact, Rex Bone. That's your Tootsie Pop, I guess.
It's your Tootsie Pop. I stole it out of your candy jar.
Oh, well, see, I'm
it's the perk of coming in and doing these interviews.
I've been lessened.
Yes. It's the big draw,
yeah.
The lollipops.
Was there a cowboy on the rapper?
Happy 2014.
Yeah, thank God.
2013 was an interesting year. 2014, I mean, there's...
Promise. You know, there's hope.
There's promise. There's hope. There's people looking around. There's people talking of expanding. There's some new businesses have moved in last year. Some are talking about coming here.
Lots of stuff. We'll talk about what was, what is, and what may be when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. But before we do our quote this afternoon, let's see. You want choices? I got choices for you. Cecil B. DeMille.
Hey, there we go.
Or John Wooden.
John Wooden, always.
Okay. All right. Quote, things turn out the best for people who make the best of the way things turn out. You need me to read that? You're kind of looking a little glassy-eyed over there.
No, I just John Wooden, if you read his book and the way he lived his life, they talk about for all the years he coached, his 40-plus years, there were only two players he didn't know where they were and what they were doing out of all the players that he coached. That's the connection he made and just this, just an amazing man that did amazing things.
Yeah, being a teacher does qualify. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what is 2013 going to be remembered like for you?
Survived a full year on the Board of Supervisors.
Survival mode is apropos for a lot of folks.
Survival mode, and I think and it wasn't survival. We had some good things happen. The county is in a little bit better shape than it has been the last 4 or 5 years, but that's because the economy is a little bit better.
Is it sales tax or is it state reducing some of the cost of operation or other parts of the state doing well and Humboldt County getting kicked back something?
It's a little bit of everything. I mean, the state, I just read something this morning that the state in 2014-15 is projected to have a $7 to $8 billion surplus in their budget. And we're talking $25 billion in debt 3 years ago. So how
does that happen? Because we haven't seen state cutbacks other than shifting of costs to the county. Well, that's not being ahead.
No, they've taken...
That's something nasty.
You know, there's little things like our subvention funds from the Williamson Act that they haven't given, which doesn't add up to a lot. But overall, through the whole state, it adds up to a lot. Paying their taxes on their California lands that they used to like the fishing game, you know, they're talking about paying those fees back now that they're getting back on their feet and some of the RCRC, the Rural Counties Group that we just joined is really really big on pushing that element and looking out for the smaller counties. But then again, you have AB 109 and a lot of these state unfunded, you know, somewhat underfunded state mandates that we've had to swallow up. And, you know, I applaud our, you know, covered California, you know, the Obama, I know he doesn't like it called Obamacare anymore, but, you know.
Oh, he doesn't? He's not liking it?
I don't know how to tell him. He's got to wear it till it's fixed. So, and they're working on it. They're working on it. And I told somebody the other day, it's a great concept. And the analogy I used, I don't know how right it was. It was like the Edsel. The Edsel was a little bit ahead of its time, and they worked so hard to get it out so quick that it never went over it, but they look back and use some of the things that, you know, Edsel brought out in those days, you know, the hidden headlight, just little things, you know. So maybe we brought it out. Well, we're obviously we brought it out a year too soon because we're getting a lot of, you know, extensions now. So
extensions of extensions and things. I suppose that would be one of the challenging things, I think, for a lot of folks thinking about 2013, not Obamacare specifically, although that's a huge chunk for a lot of folks. Uncertainty, things changing. This is the way it is. And then here comes the amended concept of what is. You know, or we see it with employment numbers always being revised,
There's always another shoe to drop.
Yeah, and the fatigue associated with that, when you say something is green, it should be kind of recognizable as green.
Well, that other
shoe. Not that you have to defend the color
waiting,
green.
Wait, that. Lately, that waiting for the other shoe to drop has turned into the centipede effect, because it's the only because there's so many shoes dropping, it's the only way it can be. But you know, you talk to some people and they got a better deal with, you know, if they got on board and got signed up, they're getting a better deal on their medical care. But there's
that
a lot
one
that,
sector,
yeah,
but there are so many other areas,
yeah,
that just I would have a tough time being civilized if I had a nameplate in front of me. Not necessarily at the meetings, but when you're talking to the folks at the state or the regulation community and some of those folks, if it was good yesterday, it should be good today. But things don't seem to work that way in government.
No, and they don't. And I mean, the state should be our ally, not our enemy. So I don't want to sit here and throw stones at them, because in the next breath, you've got to turn and say, hey, we're putting in for this grant, you know, we need, you know, and
but why do you need the grant? Is it to backfill something that they just dumped on you?
No, you're now, and there's a lot of that. I mean, with you know, DHHS, both with our correctional facility, you know, violent crime, quote unquote, is down, but property crimes are just huge. I mean, we're getting a big rash of car burglaries up on Pine Hill, and the sheriff is putting extra patrol out. The sheriff, with what he does, I mean, he wants everybody to feel safe, and he's doing his best to react to these things. And it's become such a problem with just the property crimes. And property crimes are the ones that you don't even get the venue. It just happens, and it just pisses you off.
You're violated,
yeah,
and that's
just
about
makes
as far
you
as
mad.
It goes.
Yeah.
KINS News and Information Times, 319. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, certainly 13 was challenging. What about this transition period from December into January? Contentious? Okay, we could argue that part of it. Question mark? Okay, we could argue that, the uncertainties about what's happening and excitement. I mean, there's a lot of different words that could describe what's going on today.
You know, with the hoopla, I mean, you know, general plan still plays big in a lot of people's mind, and as it moves forward, we're going to get into the mapping. We're getting towards the tail end. I mean, looks like with the threat of lawsuits and with the change that's been made, the Planning Commission may get another look at it. These are all things that may happen. But, you know, you hear about this taking 14 years, and I talk to other counties, and they take 10, 12. I mean, this isn't unusual. It's not norm, but it's not unusual. the other faction we want to be here.
But it's not what was promised.
No,
and that I think is the biggest thing. If it had been sold early on, folks, this is a 10-year process.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But it was sold as a 2-year process.
Yeah.
You know, remember back Ridgecrest?
Yeah.
Redcrest.
Yeah.
And the motorcycles.
Yeah.
To me, that was kind of the first trigger.
Mars Flat. And
everybody going down there and Roger getting all involved. And okay. And that, to me, was the first implementation of the need, or recognition of the need, rather, for this thing.
Well, and, it was in this I think everybody wants to get, I think the biggest thing is, and this goes, you know, Virginia, Ryan, Estelle, Mark, everybody's passionate about one thing. We want to get it over with. Because it does take up a lot of time, and that's time we take away from our districts, even though this is a big part of it. But the other thing is, and I told somebody the other day, it's not as much about getting it done, is I want to get it right. And I want to make sure we've got everybody's viewpoints. And I know we're not going to make everybody happy, you know, and you're certainly not going to change my mind by calling me names and... You know, and things like that. I mean, contrary
to that,
I'm okay with it. I mean, I've got thick skin. I mean, it's just I want to get it right, and I want to get it right for the people of Humboldt County. I want to get it right for the rural residents of Honeydew, Petrolia, Lolita. I mean, we want to make it work for everybody.
Is it better to get it right than to get something done and then make it right in the small little gap management steps?
The problem with doing it that way is we don't get a chance at it after that. We get it done, that ends up in a court. Everything's,
but there are amendment processes.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's amendment process. And even if we, under the process of getting it right, we're going to be amending it forever, but we're going to have a pretty good understanding of it. I mean, I know more about the general plan than, you know, than I knew 3 years ago, obviously, 2 years ago. I mean, I've always stayed on top of it, but I mean, it's pretty amazing to me to watch things, you know, move on. But I always stand by my... Everybody's afraid of this place growing into Santa Rosa, and I think last year we grew 176 people. And
you know how many people Santa Rosa has?
600 and some odd thousand now, or
no? On the sign,
no.
160.
Yeah, 100. Yeah, the Santa Rosa proper.
So you throw in Myrtle Town, you throw in Pine Hill, you throw in Humboldt Hill, Eureka's 80.
You throw in Humboldt County, we're at 138.
What are we talking about?
Yeah,
the empty lots have people there.
Yeah.
And we have commerce and activity and growth. So
yeah, I'm thinking Sonoma County has 480,000.
Yeah, okay.
That's what Sonoma County has, 480.
But you look at all the different areas we have that could grow without having any negative impact.
Yeah.
We're probably at 300,000. But that's not the direction some folks want.
And it's not where we're going.
No.
We'll never get there. We'll never get there, and I'm not worried about that. But I think going back, I think the general plan will move forward this year, and I think I think all the supervisors' passions will happen. Do I think it gets finished this year? No, I think it gets finished in early 2000, because we're doing the mapping process. We're going to notify everybody so they don't find out later on. That's going to be a long-term process. So I think we're this close. This isn't the time to hurry it. I think this is the time to really put your knuckles down and get it right.
You want me to drag my knuckles even more than
I'm the knuckle dragger. I'm the bar. Yeah.
I think I just flashed to something. You know, the frustration that a lot of people have with the general plan, or the concern about the growth, I bet you it has to do with traffic through Eureka, and the lack of the roads accommodating the traffic in the greater Eureka area.
Oh, I was
just as a basic general reflection of where's the infrastructure, what's going to happen. Oh my, we don't want this to. It's already happened because we have the highway running through the middle of town.
Well,
we've got
We have a highway running through our town. Fortuna doesn't have that. Arcata doesn't do that. Wait a sec, nobody has that but us.
So, do those communities have the same fear of this unbridled growth? I would suggest probably not.
And that's probably a pretty good point. That's probably a pretty good point, because
it's about as good as I get.
I didn't notice it till I had not been on Broadway for 4 or 5 days, and I had to run to Lolita the day, and I come around the turn and I'm backed up all the way to Sambo's or Adele's or whatever the restaurant, Christina's. And traffic is dead. I went all the way to Sambo's. Sorry.
And I knew exactly where you were with all of those references.
But I mean, traffic was stopped. And I found myself turning back up Fifth and heading out, going out the side streets.
Out through Harrow.
And coming out through McLean. Yeah, I came out at Broad and Bucksport. Absolutely amazed me. I said, my gosh, it's back to back.
So why are we addressing some of those basics? That's not the general plan, but that impacts as much.
Well, maybe we should buy a bunch of Victorians and everything else through town and do it. Oh, we did that once. That didn't work. So.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rex Bone. Rex, what does 2014 look like for you? If the general plan is going to be one of those things that extends through the year, obviously you got an election. You got a couple buds that, in theory, will be contested.
Ryan and Virginia, and there probably will be somebody stepping up, but I knew Ryan's dad, obviously knew his uncle and his cousins and stuff like that a lot better than I knew Ryan. And then I met him before the election a few years ago and everything else. And he is solid as a rock. He works hard at his job. He's over the hill in Willow Creek and Hoopaw. I mean, he does his stuff up there.
I thought that was a little bit of the kettle calling the pot black there.
But no, okay. He's 20 years younger than I am, so he's a young old guy. He's nowhere near over the hill. I'm on the other side sliding down, but Ryan does his work. Ryan does a good job. But
just the uncertainty of an election process. It'll be the first time for both of them to reelect.
Yeah.
Okay, whether they win or whether they lose, the campaigning. And that's always been something that I've seen as a challenge for the others who weren't running, is how do you still do business knowing that there are going to be the mental diversions that happen. Somebody's there in the audience. Okay. It's just another diversion of what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's your first time is handling the gavel.
Yeah.
So there'll be a little learning process.
Yeah.
It seems like it's almost going to be one of those things are going to be different, but we're not really sure how come.
Yeah. And you're right. And like you said, I think they're a little preoccupation. Ryan's had a couple little fundraisers. He had his announcement party. I think Virginia's going to announce next month. She's obviously going to run again. And I've been a friend of Virginia's and a fan of Virginia's for a long time. Back when she did a great job with the city. She's created a relationship between the city of Eureka and the county of Humboldt that was never there before. It was, not for 20 some odd years. And that's an important faction that we have, that because it's the county seat. That's what people that come to town want to know, so she's jumped right on work. She has always been, but now it's a little more formal, working with some of the local businesses, the mall, the fire departments with our Thursday morning homeless meetings, and we're making some headway on that, looking at some areas where things work. The new police chief, Andy Mills, has got involved. Sheriff Downey's been involved. All the people that, Phil Crandall from DHHS, the people that make the decisions that can make these, the monetary and the helpful decisions are involved, and she's heading that up. She took the ball and ran with this ADA thing, saying, you're right. This guy is working by the letter of the law. So what do? We need to change the law. The idea is she is fully in support of full access for everyone, but it's not full access to some lawyer's checking account and not worrying about if the job gets done.
So how do you look at 14? Are you excited? Are you cautiously optimistic?
I'm a little nervous because I am going to be chair, and that's got me a little bit nervous. And I don't get nervous very often, and it's not that I'm nervous for myself. I don't want to embarrass the county, obviously.
Well, the responsibility.
It's got a lot of responsibility. I represent the first district, but as chair, I represent the whole county, and you want to do that with as much respect and flair as possible. You want to make sure that the county, I'm also our representative on the new RCRC, so I'll be going to Sacramento once a month And I hate traveling to Sacramento, but I like the idea of working with these small rural counties who are suffering these same. The big counties got a lot to draw off of. We don't have that same draw, so we have to work together.
It'll be interesting to see as that association and that relationship matures with the other rural counties. Yeah, it's not like you guys have been apart.
Yeah.
Okay, but the formalization of it.
Yeah.
To see as the new police chief, as the new undersheriff, and throw in Adam also out of the swamp office for CHP.
Yeah.
You got three guys that are, I would suggest, kindred spirits. Two or three locals.
Yeah.
Remember what was.
You got to
know what's possible.
You got to throw Brett Fabre in there running the CHP. You know, this is great.
Down
in Garberville, we've got two local divisions, the Garberville division and the local division, both being run by local homegrown kids.
It seems like there is a potential of making some magic. Whatever it is, I don't think anybody really knows, but of starting to get the handle around some of the challenges that we have in our area, whether it's the drug culture, the vagrancies, the loitering, the burglaries that you were referring to, all that kind of stuff. Maybe there's a window of opportunity and we haven't lost that game yet.
No, I think because a lot of people remember, well, it wasn't always like this, or it wasn't always that bad, or maybe we didn't notice it as much. They're bought into it. Out of that whole little circle of, you know, Billy Hansel and Adam and Brett with the CHP, it'd be Chief Mills. Andy is the new factor. But the first thing he did was, you know,
he's dealt with this stuff.
Oh yeah, he's dealt with it because he was in the, you know, coming from San Diego. How's he dealt with it? He was on the weaker side of San Diego, the tougher side. He told me a story, you know. But this is a guy that's bought into our little culture up here. So he's Thanksgiving and Christmas, his family came up here and they absolutely loved it. And I think him and his wife have bought into the area and says, you know, this is a pretty nice place.
It was interesting. We bumped into him at a retailer Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't a double take, but it definitely was. No airs. He looked like a regular guy when he introduced himself to Stefan. There was no title involved.
No.
Hi, Andy Mills.
No, he's.
And afterwards, of course, the kid says, "Who's that?" I said, "That's the new police chief." Really?
Good guy.
Very regular guy.
Good guy, and it looks like Merle's giving him as much information as he needs before he leaves. I don't think, as the city of Eureka and the Humboldt County, that we have to weigh down what Merle has done for this community for 57 years. I mean, his family, you know, a lot of his family is still here, and he's just. Merle's one of my heroes. Merle has always been there, and he really loves the city of Eureka. He's still out there doing foot patrol.
Still around.
Still
around.
There. Good guy.
Realignment. Is that something that the county can overcome?
I don't know. It's a tough go. It's a tough go. I mean, but we've got, you know, Philip Smith Haynes, our CAO, is top notch, bright guy. Keeps us moving forward. We've got the CAO's got a great young staff over there, and getting the numbers to us, letting us know, you know, the speculation of the numbers that are going to come, what we can expect from the state, when we're going to get it, how are things going, and things like that. So we've got, I mean, you're only as good as your top staff, and we're very lucky. We've got, you know, Cheryl Dillingham, the assistant CAO. We've got some great people working at the county, and they carry the water. I mean, they carry the water. They're the ones that do all the work. We're just, you know, I guess we'd be eye candy.
No, that's something to ponder.
Yeah, but they help.
Take a while.
They help a lot with a lot of the stuff we've got, and I think we're very fortunate to have the staff we do.
KINS, News and Information Times 3:43. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. Happy New Year, everybody. Joining us this afternoon is Rex Bone. Rex, a couple minutes left, certainly one of the big issues that I see coming up. You're going to have the continuing efforts to develop along the waterfront. Okay. Let that be Virginia's challenge. But the community forest. And I, you know, with the efforts of the group that Virginia's kind of spearheading with the homeless stuff, the challenges that the Coastal Commission are throwing out, all these various things, I guess I can't see it not being a magnet or a haven for displaced homeless.
Nope.
I know that's a contrarian view that a lot of folks have. What if the city of Eureka does annex it? I'm hearing rumors. I'm sure you've heard the rumors, too, that Eureka is contemplating annexing that part.
They'd like to have that.
Okay, so now there's even more challenge on Andy to take care of that situation throughout the entire city.
Now, see, they're going to be partners with us on it anyway. They're buying in. They're coming in 50-50. We're going to own title to the property because somebody has to own title to it, and we're not a joint powers or anything like that. So we're going to own title to it. But they are going to be our partners on it. And this is, bottom line, right now there is no patrol, very little patrol. Green Diamond has two guys for 400,000 acres.
Yeah.
So, I have cleaned out a couple camps around the ball fields. You got to remember, I'm right there, you know, right. Out there.
You're against it?
2 days ago. I was out there 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I can't find a camp. I know there's one camp out there because I see the people go, but I can't find a camp. A couple BMX tracks are built. Like, these kids are innovative as heck with a shovel and a, you know. But I mean, besides that, I mean, I run into people walking back there and everything else. But I said this at one of the meetings. I says, right now people run across something, they don't necessarily report it because they're trespassing too. You know, so if they don't have anything, when they buy into it and it becomes part of them, but at the end of the day, you know, the Arcata Forest, they bought well-stocked forests. They, you know, and some of that was over 100 years old through their watershed agreement. And they had a pretty good start. But they've done a good job on managing theirs.
But it hasn't been smooth times. They've had and still have.
Oh, rightfully so. And they're right. They're in Arcata proper. They're right there.
The neighborhood is impacted, too.
They're right there. I don't think... They're near services. They're near the plaza. They walk up there, sleep. They walk back. It's no short walk to go out to the McKay. So I'm not.
You got the hospital, and that's where a lot of them are walking towards.
But they don't know. They don't know to walk back. I mean, seriously, I don't think.
You think it's far enough away?
I don't. Yeah, I truly do because I've been out there for 20 years. I mean, I've been out there for 50 years. But the thing is, I don't think that's our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is getting over the hump of the first 6-7 years, and like the Sunnybrae Forest. It's still not literally open to the public because they're still working on it, and it's 8 years later. I really think the 12, 14, 16 acres, how many, 1,600 acres, whatever it ends up, is such a boom to the community that it's too hard to pass up. But the one thing you have to remember, it is site one redwood land. So within 5-6 years, I've seen the projections. I've looked at what it's going to do. It will be with site select logging, you know, low impact logging and stuff like that. It will more than pay its way in a few years, and not very long.
You're convinced that it will be unchallenged timber harvesting going on there. It's not going to be over the top.
I think that's going to be the least of our worries. And what we're going to do is we're going to direct that money. I think it's going to be a win-win at the end of the day. It's not going to be easy. Good things do not come easy. And I'll tell you what, it weighs on me because I live out there. I don't want that thing to be my albatross, but I will stand by it.
Well, albatrosses fly.
Yeah, with a rope around my neck, fly me away. It'll be a great. I think it's going to be a great thing for the community.
Thanks for coming by. Happy New Year's, bud.
Happy New Year. Thanks for everything, Brian.
We've been talking shop with Rex Bone. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.